Over the last four decades, the United States has witnessed a golden age of digital technology. Yet during the same period, the American rate of poverty hasn't declined and inequality has skyrocketed. Popular wisdom holds that technology moves society forward, whether it's by boosting education, lowering healthcare costs, or improving government. But Kentaro Toyama, the Kellogg Associate Professor at the University of Michigan School of Information and co-founder of Microsoft Research India, argues in his new book that believing in technology as a fix to these problems is misguided and can often have damaging results. The name of the book is Geek Heresy: Rescuing Social Change from the Cult of Technology, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Kentaro Toyama to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. So what got you thinking in this direction of the impact of this digital technology?
Well, I'm a computer scientist by training, and I used to work for Microsoft, and I helped the company start a new research lab in India where we specifically set out to find different ways to use digital tools to alleviate poverty in that country. And we did projects in agriculture, healthcare, education, governance, and so on, using all kinds of digital tools. And what I found after working on dozens of these projects is that much less than our technology and the design of the technology we used, what mattered were the partners that we worked with and how capable and how committed they were to their missions.
So is the problem that we rely too much on the technology and not enough on the people behind it?
It's a little different from reliance as much as we kind of believe that the technology is actually going to solve complex problems for us, when the reality is that the technology amplifies whatever underlying human forces are already there. So if those human forces are either dysfunctional or corrupt, then no amount of technology can turn that around.
So then, and I'm putting the cart before the horse a little bit here, but so then how does technology help us in these cases? Is it a sense that it can be helpful if we use it correctly?
So if you believe in amplification, then the reason why technology does help in many cases is because there is positive human force in place to amplify. So for example, you know, those of us who have a strong education and who have good social ties, we can, of course, make use of the Internet, and it helps us achieve all of our goals in a dramatic way. That's the positive side of amplification.
So talk a little bit about amplification. What is it about technology that its primary effect is to amplify these human forces?
So amplification is really just a simple idea that is based on the idea that, you know, the technology is a tool. And so it depends very much who the human user is as well as the designer of the tool. What it says is that it's up to human beings to decide whether the tool is going to be put to a good purpose or to a bad purpose, and also how well we make use of the tool. So I think of, you know, amplification is a little bit like the technology is the engine in a car, but it's still up to the driver to make sure the car is pointing in the right direction and it will reach the destination.
So who is ultimately responsible for these decisions of how technology will be used in these various scenarios?
It depends, of course, on the situation. So, for example, in the book, I talk a lot about educational technologies.
Right.
In education, you know, all of the adults and even the students are actually ultimately responsible. So you need to have strong administrators, you need to have good teachers, you need to have caring parents. And, of course, the children have to be motivated as well. And generally, you know, in the case of education, especially for younger children, it really means that the adults have to be focused on good education and have the right kind of pedagogical skills.
So you make the point in the book that when it comes to schools where technology is brought in to good schools, that it can help, but it can ultimately hurt schools that are in trouble, that are somewhat dysfunctional in nature.
Exactly. In fact, the irony of amplification is exactly in those places where we would most want technology or other interventions to work. It often fails exactly because those are the situations where the human forces are not aligned or not in place. Especially in the United States, our educational problems are not with with children of rich parents. They're often with children who have to go to school in poorer districts and where, you know, budgets are low, where they can't attract the best teachers, and so on. And in those kinds of situations, any school that is struggling to teach their kids is not going to be helped by infusion of technology.
So what is it about this law of amplification that we can hold on to know how, why, when, and where to deploy it?
That's a great question. And I would say, you know, the law of amplification basically says that technology can't fix broken human institutions. So it can't fix broken human institutions. It can't, for example, alleviate inequality in and of itself. It doesn't make bad social situations better. However, any place where things are already going well, where you know, people are working towards a common goal that is going in the right direction, you can certainly use technology to make things even better. So, for example, in the book, I talk about a project called Digital Green that we ran, which has now been spun off as a nonprofit. And they use technology in a way to help other agricultural organizations teach farmers better agricultural practices.
You do talk about this in the book, and I just want to highlight some of this, which is you give specific examples of people and organizations that have made a difference, but it's through this combination. It's a combination of technology and human partnerships. So give us an idea of a scenario or two of how that works.
Absolutely. So, you know, one example I often give is nobody imagines that a for-profit company that isn't meeting its, you know, revenue goals can be fixed by giving all the employees laptops or upgrading the back-end data center. And yet that's kind of the logic of many attempts to use technology to fix other social situations. And really, they're no different. You know, if you need good leadership, you need good management, you need good strategy, and you need people who are really willing to work hard to cause any kind of positive social change. But of course, if you have all of that in place, then just like good companies use technology to their advantage, you know, good organizations and good people can use technology to their advantage as well.
How do you think that in what you talk about in the book, how do we take what you talk about and better think the use of technology to help people here in this country and to help people abroad?
So, you know, one of the strange kind of outcomes of this conclusion is that to use technology well, you actually need to focus on the parts that aren't technological. And so, for example, you know, if you're a parent and you're concerned about how children will use technology, it's actually much, much more important to make sure that the children grow up with the right kind of values themselves, such that when they encounter technology, they're not overly distracted by it, and they don't use it for things that might hurt other children and so on. So in a funny way, especially in a world like ours where we have a tremendous amount of incredible technologies, the message of the book is really to say that we should focus even more on the human side, on making sure that we have the right kind of heart, mind, and will so that we'll be able to use technologies in the right way.
What does this say about our reliance and our, I guess the better term would be, our relationship with technology that puts us in this situation in the first place?
I think there's just a natural human tendency to be drawn to, you know, things that glitter, and technology certainly glitters. It's just, you know, fascinating thing. I mean, I came into my own field of computer science because I just found technology to be fascinating. You know, it also has an incredible distractive potential. It draws our attention away from things that actually matter. You know, one of the most interesting things that I discovered in the last day was how Pope Francis delivered in his encyclical a caution about the distractive potential of technology and how we need to make sure that we work as much on human wisdom. And I think he's exactly right.
And I guess the key here is that you can use technology as one of the tools, just not the only tool.
I think that's the right way to think about it.
The name of the book is Geek Heresy, Rescuing Social Change from the Cult of Technology. It is published by Public Affairs. Kentaro Toyama, I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Honor. Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Geek Heresy. Public Affairs is the publisher. Kentaro Toyama is the author of the book. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.